Honorable members, we have about 5 items on the agenda, and the first one, we are still deliberating on the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill. And without any waste of time, I'll hand over to the department to address the issues that were raised in our last meeting.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, one of the questions raised in the last week's session was on the retrospectivity of the bill, and a question was asked as to why the bill is not made effective to a date earlier than 10 September 2010. The reason for that, Chair, is that before 10 September 2010, the problems that the bill is aimed to address were not in existence. Those problems came about on 10 September 2010, because that is the date on which the Judicial Matters Amendment Act of 2008 came into operation. And then those problems came into being, because before then it was not obligatory for a record of proceedings in the High Court to be placed before the judges of the Supreme Court of Appeal, and hence the date of 10 September 2010.
Honorable members, any comment on the issue?
There's also legal opinion that we made available at the last meeting on the retrospectivity, and that also, to summarize that legal opinion, it says that there, although retrospectivity in terms of legislation is generally frowned upon, in this case there is no prejudice and it is permissible. It has been done before, so there is no concern about the retrospectivity of this legislation, but the details are spelled out in that legal opinion with the, which the State Law Advisors drafted for us. Thank you.
Honourable Matilda.
Chair, maybe it would be important for us to get the views of our law advisors.
Honorable Matilda, they are attending another meeting, but we also have people from the Office of the State Law Advisors. I don't know if...
I think let them assist us.
Thank you, Chair. yes, we did prepare the opinion, and we looked at especially the about the aspect of retrospectivity, and in this instance, as we referred in our opinion, There is no, it doesn't have a negative impact on any person, and it actually, in essence, promotes the smooth running within the justice system for a prompt and expedient trial. So we have no objection in that its activity is within the legislation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members? Honourable Bloom, Honourable Gunda?
I don't think that there's any other thing that we can add to it.
Honourable Gunda?
No, Chair, I agree with Honourable Bloom. I think we can accept it that way. It's true. Thank you, Chair.
Jack?
Yes. I also will suggest that we should accept it and move.
Honourable Manzini?
Rien de commentaire.
Honourable Matina?
No, it's accepted, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Act provide that the minister in determining an area of a high court must, one, consult with the Judicial Service Commission, and two, must get approval of that by Parliament. So the Minister prepared a draft. In this draft, the Minister wants to change the area of jurisdiction of Northern Cape by excising Kudumane from the area of jurisdiction of Northwest and including it under the area of jurisdiction of Northern Cape. Already that area, as we speak now, falls under Northern Cape.
Yeah.
Everybody there is serviced by the Northern Cape. But the community of Kudumane still fall under jurisdiction of the Northwest High Court, despite the fact that the Constitution 12 Amendment Act has made that provision for it to be under a Kudumane geographically. Why we have taken time to get this process sorted out? One is we had to get the judges president to agree into a process. We had to get the capacity of the National Director of the Director of Public Prosecution to sort out our matters. We had to engage with the legislative provincial legislatures to sort out that legislation that applies to the area. We had to engage the police, the JCPS class, whatever, etc. And there has to be consultation with the communities. Now, all the consultation has taken place. On the 4th of April this year, the heads of courts and the Judicial Service Commission approved that Kudumane can now be served by the Northern Cape High Court. So the last leg of approval remaining is that of Parliament. If Parliament gives its approval, the Minister will publish this notice, which I've circulated, and this map, so that it can then take effect. We have proposed that effect take place from the 1st of August, so anticipating that Parliament will be able to give it approval. If there are some other date changes, there's no problem. The Minister can just change the date, but what we require from Parliament is that the approval of the process. Why we also require this approval now is because this Interim Rationalization Act has been repealed, will be repealed by the Supreme Court Act when it's implemented, because the Supreme Court Act, which this House have approved, creates a new procedure for the rationalization of the High Courts and the Lower Courts. So we'll deal with the new process in terms of the new courts. Hence, if the approval is not given in terms of this notice, it means all the entire process which have taken place over years between those structures and the cluster and the consultation committees must start afresh in terms of the new act. So we had wanted to push this particular one to happen because they've already completed the process. There are many, many other outstanding rationalization process which will unfold in terms of the Supreme Court Act, and this House will be kept abreast into that. There are many areas where you know that even though the High Court, even though this area, Brex, is in Northwest, the people of Brex are still served by Gauteng High Court, they are not served by Northwest. Harangua, even though it's in Tshwane, they're still served by Northwest, not by the High Courts. Similar with the Bisho High Courts in the Eastern Cape. There are about 17 areas which are misaligned currently, which still have to be sorted out, but we'll deal with those areas in terms of the new act. Kudumane is the first area which have been sorted out because they finalized their process in terms of the current act. Hence, we request Parliament to approve the Minister's notice to take Kudumane out of the area of jurisdiction of Northwest and out into the area of jurisdiction of the Northern Cape High Court. That's the request that we've come to make to this Honourable House. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Jerry. Honourable Matila.
Chair, if I heard him well, is that the issue is around boundaries. And if it's around boundaries and if the boundaries are properly aligned with the present boundaries that the provinces are, we don't have a problem. I'll therefore move that we adopt this particular report, Chair. Because if it's about boundaries. Yes, thank you.
Honourable Manzini, Honourable Gunda.
Thank you, Chair. As the matter has been just explained, and after further consultations, then I second the mover. that we adopt this. Thank you.
Honorable Gunda. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. We appreciate the support and approval of this House.
The committee having listened to the presentation, I will recommend to the House that the House should approve the request by the Minister. Thank you very much. And then the next one.
May we be excused?
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, JB. In the meantime, we'll allow the Secretariat to make the presentation with the issue that was raised in the previous meeting, the definition of the traditional weapons, if I still remember well. That was the issue that was requested from them.
Can I continue? Jefferson, thank you. I just seem to be knocking over everything here in front of me. My apologies. I hope it wasn't a dangerous weapon.
No, Chair, he's practicing what he was showing us last week.
Chairperson, thank you. Last week the question arose about, you know, traditional practices, etc., and that. And as General Jacobs mentioned last week, it was extensively discussed in the Portfolio Committee as well. And the finding of the parliamentary law advisers was this doesn't, you know, affect cultural practices. And perhaps, Chair, if I could just take you, if you look at the objectives of the Act, one of the reasons why this finding was, it specifically excludes matters of a cultural nature. If you look at Clause 2B, it says a possession of dangerous weapons during participation in any religious or cultural activities. So there is a specific exclusion in that regard. Similarly, Chair, if you look at the proposed amendments to the Firearms Control Act, which is already on the book, the same exclusion is also brought in there. So the whole idea is to exclude matters of a cultural nature. And my understanding is that is what the state law advisors based their finding upon. My colleagues here from the Department of Justice, state law advisors, are here. I don't know if there's something they would wish to add.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Bondwell Fundo. I'm the state law advisor. During our certification process on the bill, we have recommended that the bill should not be referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders because it does not contain provision pertaining to customary law or customs of traditional communities. In essence, to that effect, Chairperson, if you look, as my colleague from the department has explained, Clause 2 of the bill specifically excludes cultural activity from the ambit of the bill. So that means it doesn't have any effect on the cultural activity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Nzimande.
Yeah, Chair, you know, we hear what they're explaining, but at times, you see, when you're in the spirit of cooperative government, you know, there's nothing wrong. If they've nothing to hide, I don't know why it should be even regulated. They don't need to go there or no inviting the traditional leaders to all of this. And as the NCOP in general, Chair, we do want to make sure that you know, I mean, the house, the traditional house, I mean, obviously, even that we are developing the traditional affairs department, so it would not be a good record. We don't see it concerns them. There's no, I mean, there's even precedents in terms of court rulings. There's nobody who must never be given an opportunity or be recognized of anything. So I'm just making this general statement because we can't be bragging about that it doesn't concern them, so they have no interest, because interest is something else. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Matila.
Thank you, Chair. We want to indicate that we hope that in future nobody must be excluded from being consulted in whatever matter, because in one way or the other it might affect them. You see, it might be your view that it does not affect them, and whilst it was demonstrated in the last meeting that one way people coming from that type of a function might be affected by the same legislation, you know, because of the background that we come from, because of, you know, whatever situation, but it was demonstrated here. Having said that, Chair, whilst we take that, we hope that the department and our state law advisors will in future take that into consideration, but move that this bill be adopted. Thank you, Chair.
Thank
you, Chair. It reminds me of some years back when Honorable M.G. Buthelezi, in fact, held a spear and putting it at the back of a peg of water. When he screamed, the Honorable Buthelezi said, "Ach, niema, that's not the tradition, niema, weapon." Then I second for the approval of this bill. Thank you.
Honorable Bloom.
Thank you very much, Chair. Last week I posed a question on I've made an example, and they have said that they will come back to give an answer on that one. The middle line, what are we doing? You see, we can't accept to say that no, that police person will use his discretion. It can be either way. That person can say no, we'll lock you up, even if you are. Discretion, you see, discretion is a very dangerous thing when it comes to the law. So if they can explain and give an answer to that one.
Chairperson, thanks. Yes, this is a matter which is raised also in the Portfolio Committee. An extensive implementation plan was also developed and approved, in which training takes place. Just perhaps, Chair, also just to put in perspective, if one looks at the Dangerous Weapons Act as it now is, it simply says that anybody who is in possession of a dangerous weapon and who cannot give a proper explanation for his possession thereof and that he doesn't want to use it for a lawful person is guilty of an offence. Now, the onus is more on the police, because if you look how it now reads, it says, where there are reasonable grounds to suspect that he intends to use it for unlawful purpose. So, in fact, there's more of an onus now on the police than there presently is. So, the constitutionality of the matter, you know, has also been addressed in this matter relating to the reverse onus, which isn't, you know, in terms of our constitution, not acceptable anymore. Also, if you look at the matter relating to the Firearms Control Act, these same issues we've brought in to say, what are the reasons, when is there a reasonable suspicion? And if you go look at judgments that have been in the past, relating to the words reasonable suspicion, it means you need grounds. So there is something that you've got to base it on. You can't have this fanciful idea and make up stories. And that's why we set out certain things which could be the circumstances where and when this takes place, the person is possession thereof. And obviously, should he wish to give an explanation, that is something that you must take into consideration. However, you know, we can't give a list because circumstances will vary and it's impossible to think out everything. But the basic things are there now in the bill. Previously, it wasn't. So I think your liberties or the man in the street's liberties are more protected now than they are, as presently is the case. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Bloom?
Yeah, I have a follow-up, Chair. You see, when the onus is on the police to prove their case, this person has been locked up on a Friday evening with this cultural weapon, Friday. And Monday, this person appeared before the court, and this police can't prove that this was a dangerous weapon. You have locked up this person from Friday to Sunday for a thing that is not standing.
Chair, when there's police powers, whether it's in terms of this act or any other, the Criminal Procedure Act for that matter, the same danger always exists. And really, training is the issue. At this stage, there is nothing. I think this is a point I'd like to make. At this stage, there are no safeguards in terms of the present Dangerous Weapons Act. Here, at least, there are some safeguards because that policeman that affects the arrest, now you don't have to affect the arrest. You can take the person's name, you can remove it, and it's not always necessary to arrest, and you can summons him to appear in court at a later stage. But he knows that at the end of the day, his act, how he acted that day, is going to be subject to judicial scrutiny. When that thing goes to court, the court's going to say, but listen, you didn't act here, it's not in accordance with the law, etc., etc. But yes, I note the concern, but I think that is something which, whether it be in terms of the Dangerous Weapons Act or the Criminal Procedure Act or whatever, that the policeman is acting, there is always that possibility. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Bloom?
Can't we have a definition of a dangerous weapon? What is the
definition? Just to respond to Honourable Member Blooms, the bill defines dangerous weapon as any object other than a firearm capable of causing death or inflicting serious bodily harm if it were used for an unlawful purpose.
Yes.
That is the current definition.
It
is
defined,
Honourable.
I see it here.
Yes.
But you see, it's vague. That is my problem. You see, it's very vague. I have now made an example of last week. I've made an example of a cultural event. I'm from a cultural event. I'm a Basotho. And the police, I'm alone now, going home, and here they arrest me with this thing. The police must prove the onus lies with the police. Now, I am saying that I'm Friday evening, they arrest me 12 o'clock at night. And they, you know, it's very easy to talk about the police. You know, our police don't take anything. When they found you alone, you are going to the cell. You don't have any explanation and what. You will explain in court. I'm saying, yes, there is a definition, but it's vague.
What is missing, Honorable Bloom, in your opinion? What is missing in that definition?
You know, Chairperson, maybe if we can spell out, even if it is not here, in regulations, so that the man on the street and innocent, or cultural groups must be defended.
Honorable Madila, Manzini, Prince Zulu, and Louis. Ma'am, I saw your hand was up. Do you want to say?
Thanks, Chairperson. If you look at the definition of the dangerous weapon, you read it in context with the whole ambit of the bill. If you read it, it's any object which is capable of causing death or inflicting bodily, serious bodily injury, if it were used for an unlawful purpose. And you go further where it is used in the bill. You go to the prohibition. It says any person who is in possession of this dangerous weapon, under the circumstances which may raise a reasonable suspicion that the person intends to use the dangerous weapon for an unlawful purpose, is guilty of an offense. It ends there. And then you sub clause 2, it goes further to explain what are the circumstances whereby the police will draw a conclusion that the person who's carrying this dangerous weapon is about to use it for an unlawful purpose. Then there are guidelines which are put in place in the legislation to guide the police when they are arresting a person who is carrying this. The guidelines are, they must take into account the following before they decide that the person is about to commit an unlawful purpose. It's A, is the place and time where the person is found. It's the behavior of the person. Is the manner in which the object is carried, whether the possession of dangerous weapon was within the context of drug dealing up to paragraph E. Those are the guidelines which are placed in the legislation in order to assist the police when they are exercising their discretion in terms of this legislation. And Chairperson, we believe that these guidelines are there in order to assist the police and also to limit their powers. Because without these guidelines, the police will be having a blanket discretion. So that cannot happen. In order to guide them, the legislature came up with these guidelines to assist them. And this is supported in terms of case law. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Bloom, is that not sufficient to protect an ordinary man on the street?
You see, Chair, if I can go further. You see, if we take 3A or 2, yeah, it's 3-2-A. The place and time where the person is found.
Honorable Matila, Manzini, Prince Zulu, and Honorable Zimane.
Chair, I think we received this explanation in our last meeting. And the point that Honorable Bloom is bringing up, we agreed in the last meeting that whatever gaps that we see and issues that we raise, let them be considered in as far as the regulations are concerned. My understanding was that in that specific meeting, that agreement was reached. You know, if there are gaps, if there's that feeling that there are these specific problems, because examples, the same examples were made in our last meeting. You know, hence. We then said, let us move forward and adopt this bill as indicated, because there are safeguarding mechanisms, but we believe that regulations might be more specific than the broadness that is there within the bill itself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think the definition it's enough, but when coming to that sentence, that anything, for example, here we've got this mic, I can just break it and use it to stab somebody here. It can be a dangerous weapon in that circumstances, but when it is here, it's not described as a dangerous weapon. I think we can just take it from there. The only thing is that the police should be educated, because sometimes they are too aggressive, not knowing exactly why they are just holding somebody. Just maybe for a night. For example, they wanted to detain me for writing in my diary that on such and such a day I was detained because they suspected me of that. And the poor policeman, in fact, was so arrogant until I used force. I said, no, you cannot. Some of those who are having knowledge came to my rescue. But sometimes policemen, if ever they pose issues and do like that, then it means more bugs in your pocket. Thank you.
Yeah, we are back to consultation with the traditional leaders. If Mazuga Mkondo is a delay, is a dangerous point. If Mazuga is a Hambela as an ordinary man, and he was on a darling, Hambela in the district. I was going to talk about Cape Town, Kailish, and other things. We touch in the traditional areas. La Ekadumum Sindh Corner is a wedding last night, and then among their way back, 90 police will catch me. Because we need difficult to list all dangerous weapons. What is a dangerous weapon is? If Mark Tinda and Shakespeare's, as one of the son of the Zulu Nation kings, we should be consulted all traditional leadership in the country because in Mkondo in the year two.
Honorable Zimande?
I think 3A, or is it that A, with time and place, we hope that the police will understand that it's just a guide, but it's not a. And I wonder, Che, now that Bloom is raising today, it's even at the top. But because the fact is that after Umcimbi, when we go home as boys of that village, we go and play. We play with our shields and sticks as we sing. So, and it will be at night, in dark, it will be us playing as we go home. But obviously those matters have been dealt with. There's lots of cases that such incidents have happened, and police have made arrests successfully so when people were injured or have fought in that process of dancing, because they, at least I'm part of that feast in this village, but I know that somebody is disturbing me on my girlfriend. And when we from that Mkimbi, we play, and we ended up fighting because of those things. But I'm saying, Chair, we have ample evidence that the police have managed, even be without this act, to handle such cases. People have been arrested in that area. I think for a record, Chair, it's important what members are raising. And note as well the fact that the unlawfulness is the key to the bill. And Chair, that the committee, the presenters, Chair, are indicating that there was an implementation plan, but I'm not sure if we've seen it ourselves. But those two things are important, Chair. The implementation plan, the training of the police to this matter, and the regulations to the bill, I think, are important, Chair. And there was a motion that was proposed and tabled, and seconded, Chair, on the table already. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. And before that, we have in our midst the parliamentary radical advisor. Is there anything that you want to say, ma'am?
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for coming late. I had to attend a meeting before this. Chairperson, I've just heard some of the members comment, and I just want to refer to clause 2 of the bill. I'm not sure whether it was already covered, but it states that the act does not apply to the following activities, and that's to be possession of dangerous weapons during the participation in any religious or cultural activities or lawful sports, recreation, or entertainment. So there is an exclusion of cultural activities. If people are participating in legitimate cultural activities and are displaying weapons, the act will not apply to these circumstances. So there is an exclusion. And further, I think as my colleague from the state law advisor already noted, it's not the possession of the weapon that is unlawful. It's the possession of the weapon where there is a reasonable suspicion that the person intends using it for an unlawful purpose. So that you have a weapon in itself does not mean you've committed an offense. it means there must be some suspicion that you are intend to do something unlawful, and the criteria set out in 3.2 gives the police the grounds or the framework as to which they have to operate within to determine whether the behavior is suspicious. And the issue of place and time, it means maybe the person is carrying a dangerous weapon late at night, and also the behavior must show that they are intending to commit some unlawful activity. So I think in terms of the cultural aspect, there's sufficient in the bill as it stands to protect legitimate cultural activities, but if a person is behaving in a way that creates a reasonable suspicion, and considering all the factors in 3.2, then the police may have legitimate reasons to arrest the person for possession of dangerous weapons. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you very much. Honorable members, it is as it has been proposed and seconded, the committee will recommend to the House that the bill has been agreed to with our proposals. Thank you very much. Honorable Bloom.
Yeah, you see, Chair, I agree that we adopt the bill, but you see, there must be in the regulations, and I'm pleading. This thing is vague, and it's going to create a lot of problems. I don't have any problems we adopt it, but when it comes to the regulations, it must stipulate. And you see, Honorable Manzini is talking about the training of the police. It's very, very important, because otherwise, you are going to have a lot of problems with this bill.
Honorable Zulu and Honorable Matila.
Chairperson, I respect you as a chairperson and the members of the committee.
But
as a man who was born in KwaZulu-Natal, we don't support this bill if it's not listed. What is the dangerous weapon is? Then we must determine that when unini lapho kutholakala khona umuntu eyoba necala mayiphethe umkhondo wakhe. If nakunjalo, ngoba kusho ukuthi kukhona lapho silahla khona amanzi esiwanikezwa ngabantu.
Honorable Matila?
Yeah. Chair, I can't recall, I'm not sure, but I think it is important that the regulations, the implementation plan, and the training manual of the police are brought to us so that we look at them. If we think the issues that misses and there's a dealing with this particular bill, so that they can be. Because the problem is that we might agree, and in terms of this particular bill, these issues do not come to us. They are. The police are just dealing with them there. At the end of the day, we are faced with problems. Now, we therefore say this House then takes a decision that that must happen so that Parliament can look at them and make sure that those safeguards are put in place. Thank you, Chair.
When will we?
Now, the bill is being adopted, yes. But we're just making sure that these things come before us, because in most cases, they don't.
Chairperson, regarding regulations, there's no empowering provision in the bill that provides for the minister to make regulations. So I'm not sure if that can happen without the empowering provision from the legislation itself.
Honorable Bloom, Honorable Gunda.
No, Chair. Then we must really. They must sit down and draft that regulations so that I fully agree with what Ntate Matila is saying, Honorable Matila is saying. You see, you can't adopt a blank check. It's a vague thing. So that one, I mean, they must sit and draft that thing and bring it with the 3 points that Honorable Matila have said. And then we are satisfied.
Honorable Gunda.
I agree, but I've just heard them say nowhere in the bill does the bill make provision for the minister to, then Chair, we must put that thing in. If you want this thing to come to us, if you want those things, then they must put it in the bill. The minister, Chair, it's important for us because from our own culture, Chair, it's important. We can't today because the Western world wants us to not to carry our culture. No, we can't accept the Western world issues. We are not in the Western world. We are Africans. We've got our own cultures here, Chair. And I believe that we must put that thing in, Chair, in order to safeguard our, this Parliament. Because, Chair, tomorrow, Parliament will pay millions of rands of people who've been arrested, unlawful, and all those things, just for carrying a traditional weapon, coming from a traditional issue. We must stop that, Chair, please. Honorable Bloom.
Chairperson, I don't think it will be a big problem for the department as they sit. They can just draft one line or one paragraph, and I will propose, let's give them time. We are sitting here up until 2, isn't it, Chair? And then they can come with a draft thing, and then we go forward. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Nzimande, and Honorable Matila.
Chair, you see, Chair, when you do regulations, you have to know what you want regulated, what area you want regulated. So, as a committee, we'll have to be quite clear. You see, putting a clause on regulation doesn't necessarily solve the problem. It's got to be what are we empowering the minister to do to further define the definition in law, which is it would be bad law, in my view. Do we want the regulations to do definitions on cultural weapons, because we think there's an exclusion on the definition. So we've got to be quite clear in terms of what we want, and therefore, Chair, it might mean what is proposed by Honourable Bloom, that by 2 o'clock the clause will be there. It's not just slaughtering a clause that says a minister may draft regulations. That, you know, it's got to fit somewhere within the scheme of things or of matters in the bill. And you see, Chair, the explanation that I've heard also talks to the fact that there are exclusions. See, the problem that the committee is having is the explanation after the authorized usage or the authorized display and carrying after the wedding, after the feast, after the church service or the religious activity and all of that. And now it happened that activity ended during the dark after 6. And then you are going home, maybe you are a group, and maybe somebody sees you with a spear and he interpreted wrong and he ran and he fell, or he gets to the road, he gets knocked by the car, that kind of a thing. So I think we need to be clear in terms of what we want the department to make, Chair. I think that's the point I'm making, and therefore also saying that, Chair, that it might, if there's a further proposals that are being made, ourselves would have to satisfy ourselves in terms of the structure of the bill, the content of the bill, and the areas of focus for the bill, where we would like to see the regulation. Of course, the state law advisors would be taking care of that, should we all agree in that direction. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Matina.
Chair, I must indicate that I'm slightly disappointed. But you see, this particular area we raised in the last meeting, neither the state law advisors, nobody else has indicated, possibly because we were in a heated debate.
we did not even check as to whether there's a possibility for regulations. I personally started this particular issue around regulation, that some of the issues will be captured in the regulation. And everybody agreed, you see. And that is the reason why we came with this specific proposal, that some of the gaps that are there will then be dealt with in as far as the regulations are concerned. I'm just saying, because we can't, whilst we're at the end of the entire situation, then we're told that there's no space for regulations, these are the issues, and we're not advised in as far as that particular process is concerned. And I'm just registering my disappointment in as far as that particular situation is concerned. Because even the department did not even indicate anything to that effect.
That's the first area, Chair.
Having said so, Chair, because as we sit here, we have already adopted the bill as it is, I wouldn't like us to reverse that situation. I think it is important that at least the last two areas, because whatever can be dealt with at a later stage, because we have been told that this is the first of its kind in the country. That's what we are told. It was never there. We don't have this type of a situation. But the issue around training, if that can be given to us so that we can look at as to what is it that they're training the police on. Secondly, is around the implementation plan. If those two issues can be given, because all these examples were given in the last meeting, all of them, because the area that Honorable Louis is pointing out became the gray area, you see, as to, if you take our past, we still live in the past, even if we're in the present situation. That's the challenge we have, generally, you know. The reality of the matter is this community within this particular country is not reconciled at all. And I made it very clear in the last meeting that if you get a group of Afrikaner policemen and they find that particular person moving, that's the example I made. Definitely that's the situation you're going to be faced with, because that hatred is still there. That hatred is still there. You see. And I also made an example of a lawyer, a black lawyer who went into a police station who went there to check on his own client. And, you know, he produced everything else, but what happened? He ended up being punched by this white policeman. You know, and that was a serious case. And these are the gaps. We're saying, how do you then deal with those situations? We can't say that is an unfortunate case, because if these things are happening on a daily basis, what is it that we do to deal with those specific aspects? But I, for one thing, that possibly these two areas will try and strengthen the bill itself, will deal with that particular situation. If those things can come before us, and we hope as we go into the third term, as soon as we can, because at this point in time we're told the plan is there, but it was never given to us, you see, for us to look at and so that we know exactly as to what will be happening in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Hello, Bob.
Can we maybe hear from the state law advisors what is the way forward? And then we close it like that. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, if the committee wants to propose amendments to the bill in order to empower the minister to make regulations pertaining to the issues which are raised here, so such provision can be crafted and come in front of the committee as the proposed amendment, if that is the position that the committee is taking, that there should be a provision to provide for the regulations for the minister. To that, Chairperson, sorry, we will need the content, because we can provide the general empowerment for the minister. Say maybe the minister may make regulation with regard to any matter which is necessary to prescribe in order to achieve the objectives of this act, that can happen. But now the challenge will be on the department, what to put in those regulations, what are the issues that you need to be placed in those regulations. So I'm also interested to hear what are those issues, because we must also be careful not to delegate powers of parliament to the executive. So I want to hear what are the issues that will be placed on the regulations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hello, welcome.
Chairperson, I'm satisfied. Let's leave. You see the last point that the advocate have made. We must not put this bill in danger as well. We must be very careful. So let us accept it like that. But the regulation issue, you see, she is saying a first point that we can if the committee wants to have an amendment, we can do it. But what is the content of that regulations or in the amendment itself? I'm covered, Chair. But let's hear what the department is also saying. Thanks.
Chair, thanks. If we could just have clarity on what enabling provisions there should be. What should the minister be authorized to make regulations on? If we could just have clarity on it, and then we can draft it.
Honourable members, Honourable Zimander raised that. What do we want the minister to regulate? Honourable Bloom?
You see, Chair, the issue that we are discussing and that for the last half an hour is about what I have raised about, and especially this one of during the night after a function or whatever on 3A, the place and time where the person is found with this cultural weapon. You see, we have said it's a very vague thing. This person is from Imbizo or whatever cultural thing. But I personally, Chair, I must be honest, I don't have the wording and the content of the amendment itself. I have raised it, and the department, everybody agrees that it's a thing that they can't answer, because it's vague. It's true that you are coming from that. I mean, all the members have made examples here. Now I really don't know. Chair.
Another volume of data.
Chair, I want to propose that we have agreed. Let's move on.
Honourable members, we still have another meeting next week, Tuesday. Yes, next week, Tuesday. If members feel that we still have to deliberate further, Honourable Zimander?
No, Chair, I have a different view in terms of that. You see, we would not be ably capable of effecting an amendment next week. But also, Chair, you see, this is a Section 75, which means necessarily we're not amending, we are proposing to the NA. So, in essence, if it was a 76 years, it would be strong what we're suggesting. But in a 75, the NA is given powers to reject without explanation, and they don't have to go to mediation on a 75. And I hope the parliamentary legal advisor would explain this better. In terms of the difference in these sections. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Matilda, Honourable Bloom, Prince Odo.
Chair, I think we have spent sufficient time on this specific matter. I don't think as this team we need more time, because that will mean going back. I mean, what we have done now, we have just repeated what we did last week. You see? And if that's what you're calling for, I don't have a problem. But I hope, I hope by now we are more clearer, we know what is it. If members feel in future they've got something to can raise and deal with it, they can then come up with the proposal made by the statutory advisor around coming up with amendments to the bill and deal with that particular situation, to the act then, you know, and deal with that particular matter then. Thank you.
Honorable Bloom.
Chair, you know, you have really opened up this thing, and I support what you are saying. Let's meet again. Let's think for this week. If there's nothing, there's nothing. If there is an amendment drafted by whoever, we consider the amendment. If there's nothing, we pass that thing. But I mean, we still have time, as you have said. I thought that we must adopt the bill today. But if there's still time, let's not rush. Let's take this week. And yeah.
That is what I would propose.
The honourable members, if by next week the committee fails to provide to the department the contents of the regulations, we are going to adopt the bill as it is. Is that clear, honourable members?
Next week.
Next week, Tuesday. We ended that note, honourable members, that we will meet again next Tuesday to finalise this issue.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Honorable members, can we continue with the report? I see the hand of Honorable Matila. Honorable Matila.
No, Chair, whilst we are waiting for that specific report, I wanted to propose that I understand your ruling, but I thought at this stage there was a move and a seconda to the adoption, and there was only one proposal coming from Member Bloom to say, I wanted to suggest that let's move with that adoption with the proviso that in next week's meeting, we have whoever wants to come in with an amendment to that, and if there is none, our understanding is that the report has been adopted and we leave it at that point. Because my problem is that, Chair, if we leave it hanging and then coming, sometimes we just discuss for the sake of, we might find out that there might be genuinely people that will come in and come in with an amendment that might be affected into the bill, We will then adopt that amendment in that specific meeting, But for now, we adopt what we have and proceed with that, because my understanding is it has been adopted, and let's leave it at that, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Matila was saying, in case, because next week we'll be going on recess, in case we don't form a quorum and then there is no new proposals, we must provisionally adopt now, so that in case next week there is no new proposal, we don't have to come and sit again.
No, Chair. You see, Chair, during the break, I had a discussion with, I don't know, is it the state law advisor or whatever, And, she was raising the issue of us delegating now our powers to the department, and that will create a problem. Instead, if we had anything, we must put it in the bill, so that it is the power of Parliament. So I'm convinced by what she has said. If we let this thing hanging now, we are going to shift our powers now to somebody else, and that is the truth. Rather, if we have anything, we must put it in the bill itself.
Honorable Nzimande?
You see, Chair, the state law advisor must not mislead us, ma'am. The delegated legislation is part of the drafting, and it's part of the practice of our law in South Africa. So it's really immaterial what she was raising here. Mm-hmm. And she was just putting up quite a vague argument, in my view, because regulations are part of what the part of what delegated legislation does, but it should be done for necessity, and should be done also on the basis of what Honorable Maltila was saying earlier on, to strengthen the legislation. So there are all sorts of necessary purposes on which regulations or delegation clauses are included in bills. So that it must not be created as if it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. If it's necessary, it's necessary, and it's done. So it's not. It's got nothing to do with delegation of parliamentary powers, in my view. It's not only that. So that impression must not be put on record here, because it's not a necessarily correct impression. Thank you, Chair.
Ma'am?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've heard some of the comments by the members. I agree with the last honourable member. Yes, Parliament is entitled to delegate that power, the legislative power, to regulate to the minister. However, the issue is what exactly is the regulations going to entail. The bill is very clear as to what the powers of the police are, what a dangerous weapon is, and in the circumstances when a person will be held or may be found to be in unlawful possession of a dangerous weapon. So in delegating this power to the minister, we must know for ourselves what exactly is the minister going to regulate. As you can see from the bill itself, there's very few provisions. So what more do we expect the minister to make clear that is not clear in the bill? Maybe there's suggestions as to amend the provisions of the bill itself to make it more clear as opposed to making regulations. And some of the issues raised as to how the police actually carry out their function are more about operational issues and as to how the bill is implemented. So those fall into Parliament's oversight authority. So maybe later on when the bill is implemented, Parliament can ask, the committee can ask for statistics as to how many people were arrested in terms of this bill and how many people were successfully prosecuted to know as to whether there's a proper correlation as to people who are being arrested and if there's a prosecution. But as to the actual bill itself, legislation is general. We have to give the police some discretion as to how they exercise their authority within the framework of the law. However, we can't foresee every possibility and legislate for every possibility when it goes wrong. We have to allow for the law to take its course. And if police act outside the legislation, then there is steps that we can take against them. But to try to incorporate every possible scenario into this small bill, it's not going to possibly work. So that is my comment, Chairperson.
Honorable Gunda, Honorable Madila.
No, Chair, she has made it very clear to us now. And I think, as members, I think we must move on and accept as it is now, Chair, and wait until these things are happening. And it's true, you can't legislate for every possible issue that you think is going to come up. So I agree with the Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Matila.
Chair, I want to second the last speaker.
Honorable Bloom.
No, Chair. I don't think that next week we must deliberate further on it. The explanation is very clear now. And I think that we adopt the bill today and tell the department it's not necessary for us to meet next week.
I didn't mention my opinion about this. It's not part of my culture to carry spears and all those things. So I didn't raise my opinion. But I believe that what the lady over there told us, that a bill is implemented, and as it goes on, it's growing, or otherwise you rectify or do something, some changes to it. Thank you. I support it.
Must learn to carry you one PM, Jack.
No, he's going around with ostriches.
Honourable members, the secretary will convey the message to the department that the bill was duly adopted.
Yes, Jack.
Thank you very much.
You don't read that thing,
Jack. The Select Committee on Security and Constitutional Development with the wrong one. Just a moment, Honorable Bloom. Got the wrong one. Oh, the Select Committee on Security and Constitutional Development having considered the subject of the Dangerous Weapons Bill referred to it, reports that it has agreed to the bill without proposed amendments.
Agreed.
Thank you very much, Honorable members. Do members have the documents of the report?
honorable members, the report deals with the annual performance plan and strategic plan of the SAPS.
My suggestion would be maybe it would be important to break this down, you know,
because we, the first area in terms of what we just had was that it was over 3 years. Now we're told it might be over 10 years. You know, break this down in terms of the period and the area, because if as it stands now, it might mislead people. You know, this is a public document, and people might think, what has happened to this whole being on that? And you know, if it's broken down, we can then debate this particular matter in line with what Member Gunda is saying. What are the issues to check? That would be my suggestion.
Yeah.
I think Ivan will do that breakdown with Patricia and Kashu. I was saying Kashu and Patricia and Ivan will do that breakdown and present it to the committee. Honorable Gunda.
On the very same page, the next bullet point, the last sentence, today the firearm control system was never and has not been implemented. Is it as we talk now, today? Is it as we talk now, today?
Chair, if you remember, this question was posed to the National Commissioner. In fact, you posed the question, Mr. Gunda. And the National Commissioner said that it wasn't implemented, but they have met with the supplier and they are attempting to get the systems correct so that they can implement it.
Then in the follow-up question, in other words, if you read the first sentence, this money is already paid out. I'm not an Englishman, but if you read that English word, they said, subs paid out an amount of 341 million or 412 million. So this money is paid out. This is only subs now. Chair, I think you must make a proposal to the department, you and two other members and some of the staff. They must pay for the trip. You take them to Germany and show them what it means. It won't even cost 100 million, right? Take them and show them. Yes.
Honorable Matila.
Chair, let me suggest that in terms of this specific report, this is the second area where we might be finding discrepancies, you know, because I don't think it is correct that 341 million rand has been paid out, and we then end up to say that the program has not been implemented at all. You see? You might get a different version when you go to that specific area. I think let us task the secretary and his whole team to go back and look at the whole report as such, and then come back and give us ourselves as members. Let's go and read the AG's report and deal with that specific matter, so that we don't adopt something that is not there, and we are accused by the department and whoever, or the minister himself, to say, no, but you're adopting something that it is not there, you know, because we have not gone through. Possibly we might have seen something, but it might be something different, you know. And let us go and rework on this particular report and deal with it correctly. Because I don't think, even if it's over 3 years, you can't spend so much money on something that is not implemented at all. That is what... Because for example, the planning phase. There was a planning phase might have been paid for. Whatever phase, you know, in terms of phases, that might be what has happened thus far, and whatever, so much money has been paid. You might find that part of the implementation of this particular plan has been implemented. Now, because it has not been fully implemented, you know, we can't say at all at the end of the day, because that might also be misleading towards the people outside there that will be reading this particular report. And it will be us as this committee that will be saying to the publisher that this is what the department has been doing. And when they dispute that, it will be a serious problem between us and them, you know, which is a problem. Richard.
Honorable Mancini, Honorable Zimande, Honorable Gunda.
Thank you, Chair. I want to check here. whether the installation has been done or not. Because it's, when reading that last sentence about the today the firearm control system has never and has not been implemented, but is it installed? It's only that it's not functional. So I need clarity there. Thank you.
Honorable Zimande?
Thank you. Chair, I think as a committee we need to, I'm not sure whether we are saying that the content of the report or the facts or in the content of the report are not true. Or we are saying that so that we give clear instructions. So I would like that clarity from committee members. What are they saying? Are they disputing the information contained in the report as incorrect? Or we are just alarmed by the situation, which means that it now raises the oversight bells that let's go and do oversight in follow-up of these matters, but we now have this report that tells us the truth. So that we clear in what we are saying. If we're saying we need the department to verify figures, so let's be clear in terms of what we want to say. In relation to the facts and information contained in the report, either than saying it's the report that is wrong. When perhaps the report, content of the report, facts and information is correct, then it means we need to look into what remedies within our power as a committee we're going to undertake it, which is a separate matter from processing the report itself. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. No, Chair, there's nothing wrong with the report. The only thing is that the research section and secretary, they've done an excellent work. They've captured actually all our questions, our concerns, what we raised with the department. The only thing that I see now, Chair, isn't it possible for us, because on that observations and comments, I think, Chair, we need to put something under recommendations where we say, The report is very good, Chair. Everything I've seen, I've read through it now, it's been captured, what the members have said, our concerns, the issues has been captured here. All we say, Chair, it's just mind-boggling, Chair. And this is the question I wanted to raise. How then, Chair, will we as a committee monitor that these recommendations have been implemented by this department? How will we do that, Chair? Are we going to do it in 6 months' time before we rise to see how far something has been gone? Because some of us might not come back. Some might come back. We don't know. And this is my concern. And, Chair, I would like, if it's possible for Gershon and them and Irwin and Patricia to just make a recommendation or one of the members concerning this 341 million and some of the consultant issues, because it's an observation. We had comments on it. If the committee is satisfied, they don't need a recommendation on it, I'll go with the committee. But I was just thinking, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Matilda, Honorable Blue.
Yeah. No, Chair. I think the first point that we are raising is, first we are told that in terms of this report, it's around the 3 year period. Yeah? When you start asking questions, we are told it might be 10 or beyond 10 years. Yeah? Now, around the 4 billion. Yeah? Now, that might be misleading.
No, Honorable Matilda, it was Honorable Gunda who said if
it was 3 years,
covers even up to 10 years.
My understanding
we asked as to whether it was 3 years. It wasn't on Gunda, I think it was.
Yes, for 3 years, he said yes.
Yeah, the content advisor said it might go to 10 years.
No.
Or is it 3 years?
Yes.
Now, if that is the situation, then I don't have a problem, Chair, because I was worried by the difference that was there. If you're telling us about 3 and 10 years, that's why we asked for the breakdown, so that we know that in the last 10 years, what has happened, in the last 3 years, what has happened. If this is for 3 years, and that is the correct reflection, then maybe Honorable Louis is correct. That what do we do with the report? Possibly our oversight work must be taken up seriously, you know, so that we then call in the department to explain all these other areas. Like the issue that we raised, that I'm not sure when must the firearms control system be implemented and when. We need to look at that and check all those things as to whether what were the problem, why have they paid out if it's not been implemented, you know, all those things, so that we are able to can come up with recommendations to deal with this specific matter.
Honorable members, in our last meeting, we agreed with the department that if there are any issues that we will raise, we will call them anytime we want. So let us peruse the report, and if there are those issues that members feel that we will have to call the department, we have that agreement that we'll call them. Honorable Bloom?
No, Chair, thank you very much. No, Chair.
The report is very, very... I was not personally there for the whole day, but the report gives me a clear picture of the meeting. I'm having a little bit of concern with the recommendation part, Chair. And I'm always saying that when you make recommendations, you must make recommendations, strong recommendations. Let me read you what I'm talking about. And I don't say that we must change it, Chair. I'm just raising this thing. Let's take for instance the first one. Supply chain should provide a plan for managing consultants in view of the Auditor General on the use of management. Chair, maybe stronger words. To bring the point across, because there's a problem with consultants in that. Now we are saying they must provide a plan, and you see the other issue, Chair, that we must also take into consideration. We are not going to deal with this with their budget and whatever next year. It's our last year. And the people that will take over from us must see that, no, this committee was serious when it puts recommendations, strong recommendations. That is all that I'm... The use of words, Chairperson, so that the police, when we adopt this thing in the House, and it's been sent to them, they must see that. No, the committee is serious in addressing these issues. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Gunda?
Chair, now I agree with my colleagues, Honorable Member Bloom and Matila, that the program we had to, we can make some few words, changes, pension, and then the secretary and the content advisor can put in. But I would also like us as a committee to go and do oversight on this specific issue of the 341 million. If I remember correctly, the police, the department did explain to us that day. But I believe we will have better arguments when we see with our physical eyes, this is what's happening here. And to call them Yeche, they will explain us again about that thing. I think we must go and see, like, whenever we do oversight to prisons, we must go and see. That's my suggestion, that we must go and see. But the report It's fine. We can just change the wording here and then, because, Chair, if you read really that first sentence, I was just perusing over it, and when the Honourable Room read it, and you read through that thing, Chair, as that sentence stands there, that sentence tells us that the department is using consultants to help manage the department. Now, why are the officials then there who are getting big salaries as management of the department? It raises a lot of questions, that first sentence. So I'm saying, Chair, it would be a good thing if we can go there. Just when we come back, go there.
Honourable Bloom, Honourable Matilda.
Chair, we are dealing with the report. If there is any proposal for us to visit any base or anything, let it come to the report, to our program. Because the report is pointing out issues, problem areas, and whatever. But let us deal with the report for now. Adopt it if there's any amendments and whatever. But let's adopt it. And then the honorable members will identify areas that must go onto our program. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Matilda?
Yeah, no, thank you, Chair. Let me first agree with Honourable Bloom, that let's deal with the report. You see, the first area is from the first report we received from the police. If I still recall, almost in all departments we dealt with, the first recommendation was for them to reduce the consultants within their own department. You see, and that's what we have dealt with. And to me, it becomes clearer that in as far as this particular area is concerned around, you know. Now, what we need to do is maybe to strengthen this particular recommendation is to then request that they move further and make sure that people involved in corrupt activities, you know, let this matter be investigated. Let's find a way of dealing with that specific area to make sure that people are being arrested. This money has been because some money went out in a corrupt way, you know. And if you look at it, it tells you about the issue around hiring buildings. You know, there was a recommendation before. Now how do we strengthen that particular situation there in as far as hiring buildings for the police and all that, you know. Now, but to me, if the report has indicated that it's for the last 3 years, because it's the correct report, maybe let us deal with the recommendations and then adopt this particular report, then come with whatever plans that we want to do and deal with that particular situation, Chair. Thank you.
I just be worried I heard the other room, Ms. Matilda, on the corrupt activities. The Auditor General's report did raise the issue of corruption. It did raise the fact that there was inefficiency and incapacity on the police to manage these contracts. When the Commissioner responded to this question on this particular contract, she said that the following, that they wanted to put in place proper governance systems in the police, and that the project was, in other words, almost 80%, the project was almost 80% complete, but after the awarding of the project, there were 4 addendums to this particular project. And because of those addendums, there were disputes, and that's why it rolled on every year. And the firearms payment system, which is different to the firearms control system, was running and rolled out to about 80% of 1,090 police stations. Those were particular awards, and that was almost 60% of the budget for this project was exhausted at that particular stage. And her view was that the contracts, the new contracts of SAP, shouldn't have addendums to it when they purpose, and that resulted in the supplier with disputes and lots of delays. And what they wanted to do with this particular project, Chairperson, was to migrate the data from the old technology to a new system. And that's why it costs so much money. And that in the particular translation,
will propose that let us adopt the report. Members have raised issues, and we will reflect and identify problem areas and visit whatever. But I propose that we adopt it.
Honorable Matila.
Let me second and move that which.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The report is duly adopted. The whole bank report.
Recommendations. From the first one, 6.1. You know, we are not telling the department what to do. It's very lame. Let me read to you 6.2, Chair. And this is a serious problem, a very serious problem. I went through this thing, and this thing of the supervision parole board. I'll tell you, it's on page eight. You see, during the briefing session, the chairperson of the had indicated that the CPS has operated without a chairperson between what. The CPS had lost the services of the secretary in 2009. Chairperson, I don't know if there is there a secretary appointed now? Is there a chairperson now? Are they appointed as we speak? Because you see, has operated without a chairperson between 2005 and 2009. Has lost services, the board have lost services of a secretary in 2009, had another appointment. Has not had another appointment. So, with other words, there's no secretary there.
That's what they reported.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Now, with the recommendations, Chair. You see, now we are asking again with the recommendations here. You see, 6.2. The DCS must report whether the correctional board has a full complement of board members. But we know there's no secretary. Sorry? No, we must tell them, Chair. We must tell them and give them time frame to say within 90 days they must report back, a secretary must be appointed within 90 days. Because, you see, when it comes to the parole board, many people are sitting now there that is supposed to appear before the parole board. That's my recommendation on this one. Yeah, 90 days. I'm proposing. Chair, I'll say that I'm intimidated, but it's fine.
You're protected, honorable.
Yeah. Chair, can I go to the second one? 6.3. The DCS must submit the gang management strategy for the center and indicate whether the strategy has been implemented. Chairperson, all of us know that
the DCS will always come. And in this report, yeah, I don't know where is the gang strategy being addressed here. But nationally, not only here. It's an old story that they will come with a gang plan and whatever. We must also say, maybe we must say we recommend that the department must present this gang strategy within 12 months. It's too long. I'm just making a proposal. If we say 6 months or 9 months, or 3 months, it's fine with me. I've just made. But let's do it also 3 months. Within the next 90 days, the department must present to this committee their gang strategy plan, gang management strategy plan. Within 90 days. Yeah. Thanks, Chair. I will come to the other recommendation because this man is intimidating.
Honorable Gunda, stop intimidating Honorable Gunda.
Chair, I agree with Honorable Bloom said that we need to put in time frames, Chair. But if you go back into on page 9, Chair, we start on page 8 where the 3.13 management. The delegation is informed of the following matters related to the management of the center. Chair, bullet point A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But if you read bullet point A, there was a breakdown of the relationship between the personnel and management. So that thing tells you the department can't function. The department itself can't function. And it's a good thing that the report is like that. And the other thing, Chair, is I agree with Honorable Bloom for 90 days on both issues. Chair, when you visit prisons, for us that had a little bit of experience, I've worked with the criminal people when you were there during your political struggle and all that, when you look at the tickets, Chair, the day when they've been sentenced, how they were supposed to see the parole board, those things are not happening in the department. It's not happening on date. And there are some programs that those guys are not taking because of lack of the management of the correctional services. And sure, we can make examples right now. The correctional service in my town and Upington is in a mess with senior management right now. There is a lot of problems they can't solve. There's one guy, one prisoner, his family, are taking the department out to court. Because it's now more than 3.5 years since that guy has last seen the parole board. And it's not, except, and if you look here, Chair, this is really, I think we need to put in the time frames and we need to put our concerns and recommendations in a way of like we say to them, this must be solved in that time. This, because the department can't just come and say to us, there's a problem and we figure out there is a problem in the relationship. What kind of a problem between personnel and management? And these are the issues, Chair, that I'm just raising. The last one I would like to raise, Chair, is H on page 9. The lack of performance monitoring and visits by regional managers was a cause for concern and attributed to the slack performance of officials in the units and on shifts. I think, Chair, I raised this issue with the department that I got a call one night from a warder in the correctional service that was about 10 past 8. And I drove there and there were four officials, warders, looking after 948 prisoners.
just that night. So, those are the concerns, Chair, that we really must look into, Chair. And we, I don't know how you put it, but we need to speak to it. As I said to the department, there is area managers, regional or area managers. They can't appoint in 2 years' time a person is acting as an area commissioner, and they can't, and he's got the qualifications. He doesn't want to appoint him, but he's acting in a position.
Honorable Gunda, this report refers to Grondpunt. Grondpunt. Honorable Bloom, Honorable Matila.
Thanks, Chair. No, thank you very much, Chair. You are right. Chair, let's go to 6.4 on the recommendations. You see, this incident have happened long ago, but there's no report. JICS must submit its final report on the unrest in Grondpunt. Let's say in 30 days, Chair, because this thing has long happened. We give them time, 30 days. They must submit this report, unrest report. And then the same on 6.5, Chair. GCS must submit its findings on the investigation into the unrest and the disciplinary measures. How many people were disciplined in this process? And we also say 30 days. Chair, if they say give us more time, but at least we have pushed them that they must give us this report.
I think 30 days will be fine, Honorable Bloom. These things happened at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
I think the investigations have been completed.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Honorable Gunda.
Chair, let me go back to that. Then that's on page 9. Then we also need to put time frames in those that bullet point D. The poor record keeping result of the cases not being properly managed. We also need a report on that. We can also put the time frame like 30 days.
Chief, let me just indicate that those were the issues that were raised by the warders in the delegations, deliberation with the warders. So they raised those issues when it came to management 3.1.
Hello, Matila.
No, Chair. The first issue is that I know I was not there. I'm not sure, but if it happened at the beginning of this year,
so in January.
In January, which is about 6 months later now. No. I think in terms of if we weren't dealing with recommendations at this particular point, maybe what we need to do is to ask them to give a full report of what has happened thus far, you see, in terms of, and maybe the issues raised by Member Bloom in terms of time frames, whatever, you know, all those things then becomes important. Because, you know, we might be recommending things that they've already done now, you know, and hence I say maybe let's come with, besides the specific areas, let's come with a general recommendation that requests them to give us a full report of feedback on what has happened since that incident up to date. Thank you, Chair.
Any further engagement, Honourable Members?
Chair, I propose that with the amendments we adopt this report.
Thank you very much. The Grondpunt report is really adopted.
With the amendment, with the recommendation.
Thank you.
Honorable members, last week we did not form a quorum and we were supposed to adopt the proclamations made in terms of Section 25 of the Protection of Constitutional Democracy against terrorist and related activities. And then we said we will adopt those proclamations in this meeting. Honorable Bloom.
I propose we adopt it because last week we have already concluded that.
Honorable Zulu. Thank you very much. Honorable members, the proclamations are duly adopted. Honorable members, the Department of Justice is on its way. They requested 10 minutes. Can we have a 10 minutes comfort break and then come back after 10 minutes? Honorable members, there were issues that were raised in our last meeting, and we requested the Parliamentary Legal Advisor to advise the committee regarding the issue, which was also raised by the FSB. And without any waste of time, I'll hand over to the legal advisor and then hear the comments from the department. Ma'am, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was requested to advise on the proposed amendment to Clause 38(2) of the Protection of Personal Information Bill, and this amendment was proposed by the FSB. Chairperson, my opinion is contained in this document here, opinion on the proposed amendment to Clause 38(2). It looks like the...
Honorable members, do you have the documents with you?
Chairperson, I was only asked to look at Clause 38 to that specific amendment. I'm not sure whether there are other issues, but the opinion is confined to that specific amendment or proposed amendment. Chairperson, I'm just looking at page 3 of the opinion. The Protection of Personal Information Bill seeks, among others, to promote the protection of personal information processed by public and private bodies and to introduce certain conditions so as to establish minimum requirements for the processing of personal information. Now, the current Clause 38 of the Bill provides for exemptions in respect of certain functions when personal information is processed. So I've set out on page 3 of the opinion, I've set out the current Clause 38. The FSB is of the opinion that the application of Clause 38 is not far-reaching enough to apply to certain functions of the FSB. They argue that they do not only process information for the protection of members of the public, but also in relation to fulfilling their other mandates. They therefore request that the Clause 38 be amended to ensure that the other functions that they refer to are catered for. Their proposed amendment is to include to renumber Clause 38(2) and include Roman numeral 2, and will say it will change the definition of relevant function for the purposes of subsection 1. The subsection 1 of the bill currently reads: personal information process for the purpose of discharging a relevant function is exempt from sections 11, 12, 15, and 18 in any case to the extent to which the application of these provisions to the personal information would be likely to prejudice the proper discharge of that function. And relevant function is defined further in clause 38(2) to include a public body and a person, relevant function means any function of a public body or conferred by any person in terms of law which is performed with the view of protecting members of the public. And it lists the various items that will protect the members of the public. This includes financial loss, dishonesty, in the provision of banking and insurance, investment or other financial services, and also dishonesty and malpractice by a person authorized to carry any profession or other activities. So it sets out quite extensively the protection for members of public. And the FSB amendment would state further, protecting a relevant function for purpose of subsection 1 means any function protecting the integrity, stability, and soundness of financial institutions or markets. That's on page 4 of the opinion, Chairperson. On page 5, on page paragraph 7, the current provisions of clause 38 provide that personal information processed for the purpose of discharging a relevant function is exempt from clause 11, 12, and 15 to the extent that it's applicable in provisions of the Act. I'm sorry, those clauses are not correctly numbered there. It's clause 11, 12, 15, and 18. It's exempt from the application of these clauses to the extent of that function. Chairperson, with regard to the FSB's request for the amendment, I have a difficulty in understanding what the exact purpose is. The FSB is defined, will fall into the definition. The FSB will. The FSB will be defined as a public body in, as it stands in section 38(2) of the bill, and therefore it's difficult to understand what further these provisions will add to the already the clauses that they already exempt from. The FSB gets its mandate from various legislation. And it is established in terms of the Financial Services Board, and it is responsible for ensuring and regulating entities, ensuring the regulated entities comply with legislation and capital adequacy requirements. So therefore, the FSB is a public body in terms of the legislation, and they cannot carry any other functions except those prescribed to it by legislation. So in my opinion, the FSB will be defined as a public body, and the exemption will apply to it in clause 1 as a public body. So the proposed amendment does not really add anything further to the exemptions, or does not give them any further exemptions that would necessitate us putting in an amendment into the current clause. I think they are adequately covered by the provisions as it stands. With regard to the EU directives, it's difficult to comment on the proposed EU directives because they're still under consideration, and we are not sure as to what the final document will look like. But however, from a general look at them, there seems to be a greater move towards enforcement and to making the provisions more stricter. And any other country that wants to exchange information with the EU must ensure that it meets the adequate levels that the EU prescribed. So it's very difficult to say whether the proposed amendment would fall short of the directives at this stage. However, the committee is still able to make a policy decision as to whether to accept the amendment or not. However, as I've already indicated, I personally, from a legal standpoint, cannot understand the need for it, because it will not really change what the FSB currently the provisions that the FSU currently have, the exemptions that they already have under the existing provisions of the bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
No. Thank you, Chair. I think we have heard, because that's what we needed, to have a clearer understanding of what they were looking for and what they were proposing. And having understood that, I wanted to suggest that when looking at the bill, because we have deliberated on this particular bill in the last meetings, I want to move for the adoption of the bill. Chair, thank you.
Before that, honourable members. Honourable members, there were some proposed amendments, and before we adopt, I will allow the department to take us through those proposed. No. Honourable Gun.
Yeah, Chair, I wanted to move that direction because I wanted to know how far they come with that of the CMS as well, so we would like to listen to them with the amendments, how far they've come.
Yeah. You can continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, we would like to apologize for just delaying the start of proceedings. Mr. Chair, maybe the last question first. The committee requested us to meet with the CMS to see whether we would be able to resolve our issues. We have indeed had the opportunity to meet twice with the CMS. It was last Wednesday, and we were able to actually go through all the issues that they raised in respect of which they were concerned of. We also indicated to them that we would provide them an opportunity to have a look and maybe ponder on our responses, and we were willing to meet with them again on Friday, and that is in fact what happened, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, we were able to discuss and explain the whole framework of the bill to the CMS, and also by indicating to them a very important, well, actually two very important aspects, and that is the question of the possibility of amending specific pieces of legislation to fall in line with the bill, and then also the very important issue of codes of conduct. Primarily, we explained to the CMS that the proposals that they have made were sector-specific, and that they would essentially be better placed in sector-specific legislation, or then in the alternative and possibly even more appropriately, codes of conduct. At the conclusion of that meeting, we were under the impression that the concerns that they have raised were resolved. The parties at the conclusion of the meeting even agreed that they would just as a matter of procedure then submit a letter to the committee in which they indicate that the matter has been resolved since they approached the committee. However, they did submit a letter yesterday morning around about 11-12 o'clock, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I think that letter is also in the bundle that the secretary, Council for Medical Schemes Concerns under the Department of Justice reply. Oh, yes. And then at the back of that document, since we were pressed for time, we decided that we would respond via email directly to them, and then CC the committee secretary. Mr. Chair, essentially, and they once again raised the issue of children And primarily the definition of child as reflected in our bill. I think to a certain extent, and I don't know whether the committee members have had the opportunity to read through the documentation, but we once again very shortly and briefly try to get to the point and by indicating that we are satisfied that the definition of child does not amend the substantive law in as far as all the different ages of consent is concerned that are reflected in other pieces of legislation, and that our definition actually dovetails with the existing law. You will recall that at the previous meeting we used the example of a bank account being open, and the principle remains the same with regard to any other legislation, Mr. Chair. And then possibly if the members didn't have the opportunity to read through our response, they could have a look at the last paragraph of our email. And with your permission, I would possibly just like to read it into the record there. In response to the issues that they have raised, we then indicated, in addition to the above, which I briefly summarized to you, Mr. Chair, I would like to stress that there is no basis in law. If it is accepted that a child of a certain age may consent to certain types of medical treatment, for example, in terms of the Children's Act or the Choice on Termination of Pregnancy Act, to prevent or preclude such child from consenting to the processing of his or her personal information if such processing is related to the medical treatment to be given to that child. The introduction of any rule to the contrary, for example in the PPI bill, will effectively prevent the implementation of legislation such as the Choice on Termination of Pregnancy Act under the circumstances concerned. And that was our concluding paragraph, Mr. Chair. I don't know whether you would like us to go into more detail, but I think the documents speak for themselves. One could possibly just highlight that the concerns that have been raised are of a practical nature, which if you look at, for example, the Choice on Termination of Pregnancy Act, is an act that has been enacted in 1996. So the whole reference to subjective value judgments, etc., is something that is not entirely new, because the act has been introduced those rights in 1996. And our point, our argument is that our definition of child accommodates the existing law, firstly, does not amend statutory ages of consent, because that would simply be impossible to do that in this legislation, Mr. Chair, if the political will was there to do that in any event, and that our definition dovetails with the existing law as reflected in the various statutes. So that's from our side is a brief response in connection with the Council for Medical Schemes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
If there's any questions from the committee members on this point, Mr. Chair?
Members, do you have any questions? Honorable Gwenda, Honorable Matila.
I propose adoption, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair. I want to second, because this is more or less the same response as we received in our last meeting. Thank you.
Adoption with the amendment,
yes.
Must be clear.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The bill is truly adopted. Eh, Honorable members, this then brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. We will call.